T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good day to you and welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. And we are so glad to have you. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it. I want to take a minute here, just because many of you have tweeted, have emailed, talked about scheme, and I always ask you, what's the scheme? What is it that bothers you? What is it about the defensive scheme of the Green Bay Packers that is so bad? Did you realize that it wasn't that long ago 7 out of the top 10 defenses in the league were all 3-4? The scheme works, okay? So in that essence, you're wrong. But when I started reading deeper into this the last couple of days, I go back to when Dom Capers first arrived and went to Ted Thompson and said, I need a nose tackle, I need a linebacker, and I need just an outright shutdown corner. That's what I need to be successful. The 3-4 is basically this. It's predicated upon, let me give you an explanation real quick. It's the ability to have different looks up front. You know, 2-down linemen with a linebacker, 3-down linemen, linebackers on the outside, almost a 4-man front. You can move guys around. It's the ability to have different fronts with the same personnel with the intent of confusing the offense and having the option to be flexible on any down and distance. No team has done it better and stood the test of time than the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay, so just go back to our caller before. He said, you know, well, if you're going to say you're going to fire somebody, who are you going to have? And just from people that I've spoken with, and I thought there's about 3 names that really come to mind. Carnell Lake and Jerry Olzowski, both of those guys are with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they're fantastic. I think they're good minds. Carnell Lake, if you don't know, is the defensive backs coach. And Olzowski is the inside linebackers coach. He gets it. You talk about 2 guys, a little bit younger. Those guys have gotten through to their defensive players, and that's always been a defense that has been formidable year in and year out. They get it. They get it. So if I'm gonna go out and find somebody, I'm going to go grab a defense that's pretty successful, and I'm going to start pilfering what it is that makes them successful. And I think the value, the knowledgeable value of a coach and the ability to communicate and know what you're doing, also to bolster the specific area that you're having problems with, it's Carnell Lake or Jerry Olzowski, which is a DB or an inside linebackers coach. The other guy that I really like is Curtis Fuller. Curtis Fuller is the defensive backs coach for the Carolina Panthers. And both of these defenses, by the way, are in the top 10 this year. Both guys very familiar with the 3-4. So if I'm going to go out and find somebody, those guys, I'm not saying they're right, but I'm saying if I'm going to have a short list, those guys are on it. Because you're not going to go out and steal a defensive coordinator to become your defensive coordinator. Lateral moves don't work in the NFL. You can't do it. Unless a guy is fired, of course. But those are the guys you're going to be specifically looking at. So for those that say, well, the scheme sucks. Why does the scheme suck? You tell me why the scheme sucks. Do you know what the scheme is? I've asked that first and foremost. Do you know what the scheme is? If it's a 3-4, they don't run a 3-4 very often. Most of the time you're in nickel and dime. And then they have big Okie packages, NASCAR packages, Nitro packages. I mean, there's all these different things that they can run out there. They're bringing safeties down to play linebacker. I mean, right now, and Brian Billick and both Peter King on with us a little bit earlier, agreed that it's a defensive back-driven league. You have to have a strong nose tackle. And I don't know if the Packers do. Kenny Clark has played better, but I don't know if he's strong. Has he gotten better? Yeah. But is he one of the best nose tackles in the league? Is he strong? I don't know. But you have to have a good nose tackle, a guy that's going to dictate a double team, so you have linebackers, whether it's from the outside or the inside, that work in unison, that can shoot gaps. And if you can bring a safety up to a linebacker that can shoot a gap, it's even better. That's first and foremost. And then after that, you got to have a lights-out secondary. But the three things you need are three Pro Bowl players on defense, and that is going to get the job done. You need a nose tackle, you need a linebacker slash pass rusher, and you need a lockdown corner. That's what you need. And do they have a nose tackle? Kenny Clark's good. I don't know about great. You need a guy that's going to be great. Do they have a linebacker that's on the verge of greatness? No. Blake Martinez has played well and certainly played leaps and bounds from where he was last year. But is he that guy? Well, wait and see. Who's your lockdown corner? Kevin King can morph into that, but he's not there yet. I think he's probably got the most ability. He's got the size, speed, and length that they like in cornerbacks right now. And Morgan Burnett's kind of your captain on the field. But when it comes to running a 3-4 and running that scheme, do you have Pro Bowlers at any one of those positions? And if you answer no, that's why it's not working. It's not the scheme, it's the personnel. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. On the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line, as a matter of fact, I'm getting ready to do the house selling thing here probably in the next 6 months, and that's the guy I'm calling. When I go to buy the new one, loansbykip.com, Kip Warzone over in Atlanta Mortgage, fantastic guy. And whether you're in the military or veterans or first responders and teachers, he's got the mortgages, the refis, the home equity loans, all. Call him, 262-439-4241, 262-439-4241. That is loansbykip.com as well. You can get a hold of him there. Let's go back to the phone calls. And Bill is in Shorewood. He's been on hold the longest. Bill, welcome to the program, The Bill Michael Show.
Hey, Bill. I hear you and a bunch of other guys making the point about Packer fans being spoiled by all the Hall of Fame quarterback play for the last 25 years, and I agree. And I think I also agree with you that Hundley is definitely suffering by comparison to that, you know, Hall of Fame level play. But don't you think there's someone else who's been spoiled by all that Hall of Fame quarterback play, and that might be the coaches and the manager?
Absolutely.
Without that Hall of Fame quarterback play, the defense looks, I mean, it's no different, the defense, than it was in Dallas earlier this year or Atlanta. It's just Aaron Rodgers is not covering up how bad it is.
But that's the way they were built. They were built to be a top 15-ish defense.
But, Bill, you keep saying that. The last six picks have been on defense.
Right.
They've spent more money on defense the last 6 years.
Correct.
Have on offense. It's just not true. It's an excuse that keeps being trotted out. Where's all the talent on offense? There's one other first-round pick, Bulaga. The defenses were all.
Wait a minute. When you say where's all the talent on offense,
you say they were built. The team is built through the draft. The team has built
correct
defense. They've put all of their draft resources.
I agree with that.
Defense. It's not true that it was built to just be a top 15 defense. That's just. It's belied by the facts and the record. The team has put all of its draft resources, the vast majority, into the defense.
Correct.
So it's not built to be a top 15. It's built. They were paid. They've been in top 10 resources under the salary cap.
But what my point being is this team wasn't relying on them being a top 5 defense. This team is basically being relied upon to be a top 15. And then you have everything over on the offensive side of the football that you've gelled over the last few years and put together that if Aaron Rodgers is under center, he can make everything go. And then the defense doesn't have to be great. But I agree with you. Look, they picked an undersized center or an undersized nose tackle in Kenny Clark. Completely agree. They stepped it up this year and went with two defensive backs because last year it wasn't good. You don't know how they're going to be. They've shown flashes, but they haven't consistently played. Montrevious Adams just now starting to get his feet wet. Vince Beagle just now starting to get his feet wet. And the years prior to that, Nick Perry, he was the best of a bad lot that was available.
Our general manager hasn't made a trade for a player.
But what team had? There's four teams that made trades at the trade deadline. That's it.
Yeah, but, Bill, the Steelers have made three trades for players this year. The Patriots make more trades than any other NFL team. The Seahawks have traded for two top-flight players and Richard. We never do it. Ever. We haven't done it in over a
year. They traded for Jimmy Graham, which hasn't worked out, and they traded for an offensive lineman because their quarterback's getting killed. Beyond that, they haven't made any other trades.
But our defense gets killed, and we do nothing about it.
Well, he did do something about it. He jettisoned the guys that weren't playing well and picked up a guy like Ahmad.
What did he do at offensive outside linebacker this year? Well, tell me what he did. He got rid
picked up Ahmad Brooks.
The day before the season started.
Well, you asked me what he did. I'm telling you. You said he didn't do anything. I said he went out and got Ahmad Brooks. He got Quentin Dial. He got Chris Odom. Outside linebacker. He picked guys that fit the system, that have had knowledge, and that guys he thought could come in and help right away. The problem is they've been banged up.
Odom's been banged up?
Odom hasn't really played that well. But you asked me what he did. I'm telling you what he did. Okay, then you want to argue the point.
No. What he did add Brooks right at the last end. After letting Peppers go, after getting rid of Dayton Jones, who both played a lot. And
let me ask you this. When he got rid of Peppers, were you complaining that he got rid of Peppers?
I would not have complained if he'd gotten someone to replace him. Absolutely not. There were plenty of outside linebackers available last year. He chose to elevate Kyler Fackrell, his third-round pick.
I agree.
It's just like he did in 2013 when at safety, when he got rid of Charles Woodson, the longtime veteran, and he put Jerron McMillan in at safety.
Mm-hmm.
The team over and over as far as personnel goes. On the defensive side. And we'll keep doing this for
a year. I'm not arguing the fact that his drafts have pretty much sucked defensively. I'm not arguing that fact. But when you say he's done nothing to do it, I'm simply saying he has. It just has failed.
I'm just saying he's failed.
Right.
What I'm saying is last year they had four outside linebackers who all played a lot. Matthews, Perry, Dayton Jones, and Peppers. Ted chose to let Peppers and Jones go. Until 2 days before the season started, he was going to go with Fackrell and Jaron Elliott. That's what he left Dom with. Dom is
right. I'm not saying Ted's without blame. I completely. Hey, this is on Ted Thompson.
All right,
completely.
Fair enough. Because I think that the whole Hall of Fame quarterback has masked some big deficiencies. Not just.
But he also chose him too.
Oh, Ted's first 5 years were great. What's he done since the Super Bowl?
I'll agree with. Appreciate the phone call.
Seahawks, by the way, also traded for Sheldon Richardson right before the beginning of the year.
There you go.
Veteran from the Jets.
Yeah, there you go. But trades in the NFL it's not like trades in the NBA and not like trades in Major League Baseball.
I'll tell you what, there's been more trades I've seen this year than I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Right.
There
yeah.
have been
it just
far
normally
more trades.
Just never happens.
Significant trades too.
Yeah.
Not just like, you know, little, you know, guys were just barely making the roster, and you get a conditional pick or a seventh-round pick or whatever.
Let me ask you this. Okay, let's do this because I think this is a fair question. We'll get to Chris and Joe and Rick and everybody. Right now, if you had to start your defense, name me three players on the Packers' defense that you would say you would want to start your team with. If you had to start a defense and you said, I'm going to rebuild this thing, who would you start it with? Who is quality enough to be on your team? Because I think when you start looking at this, there's probably, and again, I'll take Montrevious Adams and Josh Jones and Kevin King and company out of the mix and Vince Beagle, because you don't know. You don't know what they are. I mean, prototypically, you've got some good guys there, but you don't know, okay? So I'm going to take, because of the uncertainty of those guys, I'm taking those guys that were drafted this year out of the mix. So if you had to sit here and say today, I'm going to start a defense, and I have to spend my money. Is there three guys off of the Green Bay Packers that you would take right here, right now? And I can think of two. I can think of two. And I would have a real problem probably trying to pick the third. And that says something about this defense. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Wisconsin wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Hot to fire. Streets of stone.
Welcome back to the program, The Bill Michaels Show on the air, and we are glad to have you. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We are going to be at Bullwinkle's in Brookfield coming up Thursday night, 6 to 8. We hope to see you as a face in the crowd. Come on by and say hi. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Damon Amendola. host of the DA show on CBS Sports. He is going to be joining us. We're going to chat with him, outside perspective looking in, as we continue to look at the Green Bay Packers. Peter King gave us his thoughts earlier. Brian Billick gave us his thoughts earlier. And we're going to go to DA coming up here in about 10 minutes. So here's my question. If you had to start a defense and you were going to say, choose three players off of the Green Bay Packers defensively, who are they? Who are they? And I'd be hard-pressed for three. I think I would take Mike Daniels, and I think I'd take Morgan Burnett, because Morgan Burnett has a ton of versatility. Beyond that, I mean, some of you have said Nick Perry. I don't even know if Nick Perry is an elite pass rusher. For two reasons. One, it's not consistent. He has been good since the beginning of last season. But the injury problems continue to mount. And there's not a consistency there. I mean, he did a hell of a job with the club. I'll give him that. But as far as when you start thinking about elite outside lineback pass rushers, he got paid, but, you know, does that make Matthew Stafford elite because he got paid? No, it just makes him right place at right time. Joe Flacco was the highest paid quarterback in the league for a while. Does that make him elite? No. Sometimes it's about the timing of your position and what goes on around you that can make you a high-paid player in the NFL. Doesn't make you better. Just makes you paid. I can't think of another guy that I would sit here right now and say, I'm starting a team with this guy. I think Kenny Clark is undersized. As much as I like him, I think he's undersized. I think Dean Lowry's a guy. I think Clay Matthews is past his prime and not coming close to earning his money. Jake Ryan is a run stuffer. Blake Martinez, I still have qualms about him trying to cover even a tight end in pass coverage crossing across the middle. Devon House, not a lockdown corner. Ha-ha Clinton Dix, I don't know what's going on with him. And if it comes out at the end of the season that he's injured, shame on the Green Bay Packers. Because the more you say he's not injured and the more he looks bad, shame on Ha-ha Clinton Dix. Demaryius Randall, there's no way. Now, maybe Kevin King. Maybe I substitute Josh Jones for Ha-Ha Clinton Dix eventually. Maybe Montrevious Adams, who I saw last night take on a couple of double teams, and he was impressive. As soon as he gets some moves down, that guy may have it. I don't know what Vince Beagle's going to add to the mix. But who are you taking? Let's be honest. And if you don't have a nose tackle, if you don't have a linebacker, and if you don't have a lockdown corner, you're not going to be successful in a 3-4. They don't have that. They don't have that. I'm taking two guys off of this defense. The rest of it, just guys. Just guys. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Chris listening to us in Brookfield. Chris, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Pretty good, pretty good. You know, ever since A-Rod got hurt, it's just been to me like, okay, this is a season that maybe at the end of the year we might have some draft picks in 8 through 10, 20. I don't see anything happening with Hundley. It took Rodgers a full training camp, a full season where he went 6-10, threw a bunch of interceptions, was sacked 34 times. It took him a year or two to get running with the offense. I don't expect Hundley to do any miracles. The only thing I think we should do, personally, though I'm not no head coach, is play the young guys, see what we got, take our licks, wait for the draft to see what happens, no matter who if it's going to be TT or whoever fills his shoes, and go from there. As far as Capers is concerned, I think he's a great defensive mind, but I think he's not being heard. And I don't know how smart the people that we've drafted, since most of them were drafted out of position to learn all the new terminology. But I like Don Capers, and if we let him go, I'm sure he'll get picked somewhere else. Who do we replace him with? Who knows? But I'll listen to you and see what you got to say, Bill. Have a great day, buddy.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Well, like I said, if I had to make my picks right now for somebody to replace, I'd go with Carnell Lake, the defensive backs coach out of Pittsburgh. Also their linebackers coach, Jerry Olasovsky, and then There's Curtis Fuller, who's a lot of people think highly of, the defensive backs coach down in Carolina. If there's three guys that I would say, okay, the first two have more familiarity with the 3-4, so you're not changing things dramatically. But that may be the area that I would go in. Incidentally, Aaron Rodgers' first year under center, he had a 63% completion percentage. You're right, he had 34 sacks. He ended up with a touchdown ratio of 5.2. He had 28 touchdowns, 13 picks. His first year, the highest ratio to picks that he has had in his entire career. 13 picks that season. Since then, he's only hit double digits in picks for an entire season one other time. That was 2010, believe it or not. And then we all know what happened then. He had 28 touchdowns and 11 picks. 2011, 45 touchdowns and 6 picks. And this year, he'd already had 13 touchdowns and only 3 picks. And those 3 picks were in the first 2 weeks of the season. So he was already on his way to another MVP type of year when he went down with the injury. 855-830-8648. Joe, listening to us down in Georgia. Joe, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
What's going on, Bill?
Joe, doing good, man. What's up?
What's up? Hey, so three guys. You want three guys? I'll give you three guys.
If you're going to take three guys off of this defense, or would you take three guys off of this defense?
I probably would.
Okay.
I probably would go with Daniels. I'd probably go with King. I like what he's shown as a rookie. I like how he hits. I like that about him. I think he has a unique skill set that a lot of other corners don't have, you know, being 6'3", and he'll knock you. I mean, he'll lay the wood on you.
Oh, I've said that from the beginning. I haven't really counted him because you don't know what you specifically have in a rookie, but if you want to count him, go ahead.
Yeah, third, I don't know. Maybe Burnett, maybe. I probably would go with Burnett, maybe those three. That's probably what I would do.
Okay.
But the bigger picture here is, you know, this whole, you know, ever since Rodgers went down, it's like the air has completely gone out of all Packer Nation, locker room included. And just by hearing some of the interviews by some of the players, it just feels like they know, hey man, season's over. I mean, that's kind of the feeling I get sometimes when I hear some of the interviews, and it probably just could be the fanatic negative fan in me coming out saying, that's it. Just send it in, pack it in. But I got a question for you.
Sure.
I personally don't think this team is going to win any more than one or two games the rest of the season. I don't see it. I don't see how they're going to do it. Maybe they'll get the Browns. I do not think they're going to get the Ravens. I think the Ravens' defense is too good, and I think the Ravens are just going to stymie Hundley. I don't know. I can't find another win, and it's just really sad that the season has gone to this.
You might be able to get a win against, say, Chicago, down in Chicago this coming week. I appreciate the phone call. You might be able to get a win there. You might be able to get a win in Cleveland. I think everybody looks to that. But Pittsburgh, Carolina, I mean, you're going to be hard-pressed to walk away with victories in those ballgames. I completely agree with that. 855-830-8648. When we come back, Damon Amendolara, he is better known as DA. He is the host of the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big show today with Peter King and Brian Billick and DA. And then, obviously, Paul Emig and Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold analysts, coming up here in just a little bit. Stay tuned. DA, next on The Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day today. Certainly appreciate you taking a listen to us. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. And the loansbykip.com. Toll free talk line if you want to chime in. This portion of the program brought to you by our terrific friends over at Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. And I've always said, go in and get the Bill Michaels. That's the pepperoni melt, extra mayo, extra cheese, loaded up, Italian bread, cider Radio Joe cheese curds. If they don't know what it is, you tell them. You tell them. Got to get this. Got to know it, live it, love it, learn it. There you have it. That's Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. The official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. You hear him all the time on CBS Sports Radio. He is the host of the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. DA now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. DA, how you been, man?
I'm doing good, Bill. Now just longing for one of your sandwiches. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's people have said it's life changing. I don't know if it's life changing, but it certainly is is filling in the Italian sense, and I love that thing. So yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, I wanted to ask you, and I've asked everybody today. We had Peter King on and Brian Billick on a little bit earlier today, but I wanted to ask you your helicopter view of the Green Bay Packers.
Season's over unless Aaron Rodgers comes back with some miracle in week 17. I mean, just from what we've seen last night and the last two games out, they're just a shell of themselves. And to me, it begins emotionally and mentally. And I do have to point the finger at Mike McCarthy. Look, I understand when you lose a star player, especially one at quarterback, naturally there's going to be an emotional sag. But what you saw last night was a defense that simply couldn't stop in any way, shape, or form the Lions, and an offense that just didn't believe. And clearly Brett Hundley is nowhere close to what Aaron Rodgers can do, but I just thought the life, the energy, the soul of the team last night was lost. It looked like Zombieville from the Packers, and I just think that when Aaron Rodgers is out there, you feel invincible, and when he's not out there, you feel like you're naked, and that's what the Packers are playing like.
Defensively speaking, this team's not very good, and that's that side of the ball needed to carry them, and they're not going to get it done. So we start to look around the rest of the league. I want to start with the Philadelphia Eagles. Are they for real in your eyes?
Well, it kind of depends on the definition of for real. Do I think they're one of the best teams in the NFC? Absolutely. Do I think that they're the best team of the NFC? Perhaps. Do I think that they're more than just Carson Wentz? Yes. And I really love what they've done around Carson Wentz. I like how Doug Peterson has evolved the offense in year two under Wentz. And obviously, I love what Wentz has brought to the table. But I don't think there's any world beaters in the NFC. I think that this is a conference right now that's got a bunch of good teams, some very good, but all of which can beat one another. You know, if the Eagles go 12-4 and get the one seed in the NFC, would it be impossible to believe that the Seahawks go there in divisional round weekend and win? Of course not. Would it be crazy to think that they could lose their first playoff game? Absolutely not. So, you know, at the midway point, are they the best team in the NFC? Probably. Does that mean that they're the best team going into January? I kind of doubt it. I don't think there's anybody head and shoulders above the rest of the NFC.
If you're going to say the NFC battle at the end of the season is up to what? I mean, Seattle is always going to be a team that hangs around. I'm really waiting to find out what Dallas has when they face Philadelphia. Obviously, L.A. has all of a sudden come on, and they're playing like a team that could, you know, be in the postseason and actually do a little bit of damage there. How much should we believe in the teams that are near the top spot right now?
I think this is a matchup-based NFC. You know, in the AFC, I really believe that the Patriots and the Steelers, and to a lesser degree, the Chiefs, and I would have put the Chiefs in this conversation 2 weeks ago, but I haven't liked what I've seen the last two games out of them. I would say that in the AFC, roads run through those teams. So you're going to have to get up for your best game, play your best game, probably on the road, in Foxborough, in Pittsburgh, perhaps Kansas City, and really bring it if you are going to get through the AFC. In the NFC, I don't believe that. I think this comes down to matchups. I mean, take the Dallas Cowboys that you mentioned. If the Cowboys have Ezekiel Elliott in the playoffs, and we presume that they will, if they get there, a matchup problem presents itself against their opponent. We can't stop the run. But yet the Cowboys on the flip side can be had if you have a balanced offense and don't put yourself in bad situations where their pass rush gets you because the rest of their defense isn't very good. In the NFC, take the Saints, for example. If you're going on the road because the Saints win the NFC South, you're probably going to get blitzed down there in that dome. Do I think that they're going to win on the road? I don't, even though they have a better ground game this year and a better defense. I don't believe the Saints can go outdoors and go win two playoff games. I think this is all about matchups, and the LA Rams are a good example of this. The Rams have taken a pitchfork and stuck into the hearts of their opponents early in these games. This past week against the Giants, they went downfield. They attacked the Giants secondary right off the bat, got a couple of scores, never looked back. If they can do that to a defense that's on their heels, they're going to be dangerous. But can they do that against a good team that's going to bow its back and stand up to them in a playoff game? I don't know. And so I think that so much has to clarify itself in the final 8 weeks of the season that we see what these matchups look like. And the Vikings are another team, a really good defense, a questionable quarterback. If they go on the road in the playoffs or play a team that can somehow kind of figure out how to poke holes in that defense, they're going to lose because they can't keep up with anybody else with that quarterback situation.
I look at this NFL season. It's kind of bizarre in the sense that teams that we really – I mean, the beginning of the season, the predictions are pretty much thrown out the window. I mean, you know that New England's going to be there. Beyond that, everything's kind of been up for grabs. We knew Pittsburgh would kind of be good, and they're sitting at 6-2, but we expected that division to be a little bit better. Tennessee, Jacksonville. Jacksonville's been on the come for so many years, I never really had a chance to believe in them, and all of a sudden here they are top of the division, and it's a shame what happened down in Houston. But Kansas City we thought would be good. Oakland we thought would be better than a 4-5 team, and it seems like they're trying to figure themselves out. Is this just a really – that, and then you couple it with all of the devastating injuries that have gone on. Has this just been a bizarre year in the NFL?
It has been in a lot of ways bizarre. I think you hit on two things. Number one, the injuries because of Aaron Rodgers. It took the Packers out of the mix right now. Deshaun Watson takes the Houston Texans out of the mix. And they might have already been out of the mix because of the injury to J.J. Watt. Those are devastating injuries to a league that loves its stars. So that kind of altered things and rocked the boat. And number two, the NFC specifically is so weird because the Falcons can't get out of their own way, the Packers lost Rodgers, and because the Seahawks have been wildly inconsistent. So those three, had the Falcons, the Seahawks, and the Packers all been healthy and solid, and then in the AFC you had the Patriots, the Steelers, and let's say the Chiefs, you would say, all right, this is a steady year, a strong year for the NFL. The power teams are at the top, and we'll see who can kind of like crack into the wild card stuff. But the Chiefs have looked great, and then they looked bad the last couple of weeks. The Patriots got beat by the Chiefs early, and we feel like their defense is vulnerable. The Steelers could potentially lose to the Bears. They can lose bad games, and then they can look great against the Kansas City Chiefs. And then in the NFC, as I mentioned, Seahawks, Falcons, Packers, none of those three feel like three of the best teams in the NFC. So it's been topsy-turvy because we've seen some great performances out of great teams and then some lethargic ones, and the normal powers that be in the NFC have been toppled over.
Talking with DA, host of the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. So this year, and I asked Brian Billick this, I'll ask you this. This year we have seen, if you have a quarterback, it's an elite quarterback, you're going for it, that's what you're doing. But I think a couple of years ago, John Elway said, look, I've got a quarterback that's on the downside. I can't win it with the offense anymore. We have seen a lot of teams just go out and say, we're going to load up defensively and let the chips fall where they may to support maybe a lackluster quarterback. Has the pendulum now swung from being the, quote, quarterback-driven league to you better have a damn good defense again?
It's always been you needed some element of balance. You just could not be one or the other. And I still believe that holds true. But I also believe, and I talked about this morning on the show, having watched the Packers last night, now more than ever, your quarterback defines whether you're a contender or not, because the last 25 years have been defined in the NFL by slanting the rules in favor of the offense and the quarterback. They want Hollywood. They want stars. The easiest way to build stars, through the quarterback. So all the power and influence of NFL teams goes through the quarterback. You got one, you're good. You don't got one, you're nothing. And with one injury, a team like the Packers can go from a Super Bowl favorite to a nobody. And that's the problem, I believe, in the NFL's rules now. It's why we have so much mediocre football. It's why you watch on Sundays and half the games are unwatchable. It's because half the teams don't have decent quarterbacking. And so the only way you can win now is elite quarterbacking in January or historically great defense, which is what the Denver Broncos brought to the table 2 years ago, which is what the Seattle Seahawks brought to the table 4 years ago. It's the only way you can do it. Historically great defense or great quarterbacking. And I think that this is why the NFL is problematic at this point, because 20 years ago, it didn't have to be an all or nothing proposition for you to win and go deep into January.
Always a pleasure to get you on, DA. I appreciate it, and we'll get you on later down the road, okay?
Sounds good, Bill. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. There you go. DA, host of the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. Always great to get an outside opinion. We're trying to take a look at this thing from so many different, because we're so close to it. Sometimes we get kind of lost in the shuffle, but everybody else basically saying the same thing, that once Aaron Rodgers went down, team stinks. That's it. I mean, that's the bottom line. Guys are on the hot seat, all that kind of good stuff. So we'll continue to discuss Green Bay Packer football. There is We do need to make a note. We got Mike McCarthy coming up with a deciphering machine, but I wanted to let you know the Bucks made a trade as well. I want to get into that. We're going to talk more about that tomorrow. And also, we've got Paul Emig and Mike Clemens both around the corner as well. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels show after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Reminder, we're heading off to Minneapolis. We're going to be there. The Bill Michaels Show is going to be live from Radio Row yet again. And really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it. Some great sponsors coming along again this year. Our good friends over at Auto Paint and Supply. GoAutoPaint.com. They're in Washington, or Waukesha, Middleton, Walworth, Racine Counties. Family-owned business. Whether it's automotive paints and supplies, boat paints and supplies, trailers, whatever it is you need, they got it. Great people, great family. GoAutoPaint.com. Also, Chris and the gang at ABC Audio Video, where they do everything from bars and rec rooms to massive installations and hospitals and you name it. Your home, I mean, they can do anything. And Chris and the gang are fantastic people. And we only deal with really good people. So check out Chris and the gang over at ABC Audio Video. Go to ABCAudioVideo.com. ABC Audio Video. .com. And then there's Great Lakes Dragaway, the 2018 season passes. They are ready. They're on the website and ready for your holiday gift giving. That is Great Lakes Dragaway, D-R-A-G-A-W-A-Y, Great Lakes Dragaway. If you're into the car thing, the drag racing, a lot of fun, family events, GreatLakesDragaway.com. That's GreatLakesDragaway.com. Let's do the Mike McCarthy deciphering machine, shall we?
This segment of the Bill Michaels Show is brought to you by Concordia Veterans Services Department, dedicated to preparing veterans to make an impact within their next mission through education. See them at cuw.edu/veterans. Now, let's hear from the coach.
All right, let's do it. Time to hear from Mike McCarthy. As a couple of weeks away from the game, getting you ready for the Monday night game against the Detroit Lions, he says they were prepared.
Your preparation shows up early in the game. I thought the offense came out ready to play. You know, had the long drive. You know, didn't convert down there in the third down in the red area. Didn't have the field goal attempt completed. And defense comes out, and you know, we stop them on 3rd and 14. We have a bonehead penalty. So, you know, as far as preparation going into the game, I thought the players did a heck of a job this week.
We were ready for a couple of series. Sure, we were ready. Spent a lot of time on that script. First scripted. First 15, move right down the field. Couldn't convert? I agree. Had a screw up with a long snapper? I agree. Should have been on the board first? I agree. Should have stopped him on 3rd and 14. Stupid penalty by Mike Daniels. I agree. But to take it a step further is, what the hell happened after that? They weren't ready to play after that. When things went awry, it tend to circle the drain quite a bit. Mike McCarthy says two, not one, but two major breakdowns in this ballgame.
Offensively, we need to score more points. I think really the biggest thing for us to improve on is third down. And frankly, defensively, you know, third down. They totally controlled the third down battle tonight. And I thought that was a huge factor.
There you go. Huge factor. Two things that happened to this team. And both of them bad. And you can pretty much point to more than two things. But look, it's blah, 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 blah. Look at the film. Fix that. Need to clean it up. But no, it's, you know, two things didn't happen to this team. Many things happened to this team. The revelation that this team just isn't that damn good happened to this team. There you have it. There you have it. Mike McCarthy says, hey, Brett Hundley, don't look over here. Don't look behind a curtain. He's not the issue.
Brett Hundley played better today. And I have great faith in Brett Hundley. Brett Hundley's not our issue right now. I mean, when there's some very lopsided statistics. Look close at those. They told the story tonight. Third down, they owned it.
They kicked our ass. We couldn't get off the field. They kicked our ass. Don't look at Brett Hundley. Don't look over here. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Don't look at Brett Hundley. He's my guy. He's got to come out and say that. He's got to come out and say Brett Hundley's the guy. Why? Because what's he going to say? You know, between me, you, and the fence post, 3 years of being, you know, the guy that was controlling this guy and really grooming this guy. Between you and me, I suck.
I know you guys, particularly you, Bill, you love your statistics.
I do. I do love statistics. I appreciate them. But, I mean, what's he going to come out and say? Come on. Let's keep it real here. Keep it 100.
Stay positive, Bill.
Yeah, keep it 100. It didn't work out. Didn't work out. I completely agree. So there you have it. A little bit of Mike McCarthy in the deciphering machine. When we come back, we'll decipher even more. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, is going to join us, followed up by Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio. And we'll continue to break down what was the debacle at Lambeau last night, as the Packers did not look good in many phases of that ballgame. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.